The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, Licensed Nutrition Counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and joining us today is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
And as I was listening to the news this morning, I don't know if you heard this or not, and I thought it was kind of interesting, but the headline is Whole Foods receives a warning letter from the FDA for serious violations. Did you hear that one?
No.
And, you know, when I heard about it, I said, a warning letter. Nobody got sick. And I just wondered, why is this, why did this become, headline news? And, you know, why couldn't it be just taken care of in a normal way? So, I want to get into a little bit more about what they said. And it just struck me that, Could it be that the federal government, which we know is controlled by big corporate interests, might be singling out natural purveyors of natural food intentionally? So here's what they said. They got a warning letter from the FDA earlier this month, because they said they found serious violations of federal regulations during an inspection of the company's food preparation facility in Massachusetts. And I know the way the government works. They really know how to make mountains out of molehills. I bet if they came into everybody's kitchen, they'd probably shut down half the kitchens. But that's just my opinion. The FDA inspectors reportedly found various food products, including mushroom quesadillas, chives, beets, and couscous, that were exposed in areas where condensate was leaking from ceiling joints, doorways, pipes, and fans. Now, haven't we seen that in places, Janet?
Okay. I would say that a lot of it depends on the intensity of the leaks and so on. I have to say I'm really careful where I will purchase prepared food.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
There can be such vast differences in how people kind of review the way they take care of raw food, raw animal products. I mean, there can be a lot of problems. So I'm going to say I don't necessarily think that it's a reasonable thing for the FDA to be focusing on that. Certainly, wouldn't you imagine that local health officials would be the ones who would be doing the inspections rather than the FDA? The FDA, unfortunately, is they say that they lack the manpower to do investigations of certain types, and yet they're going into an area where my opinion is local health officials should be dealing with that.
I think you make a very good point. That's a very interesting thing. Yeah, when was the last time we heard the FDA inspecting food preparation in different restaurants or stores. They went on to say, Jen.
That's weird.
Yeah. They went on to say the FDA cited that Whole Foods employees failed to sanitize food prep stations, did not change gloves or wash hands between tasks, and did not take caution to prevent cleaning supply fluid from touching ready-to-eat products. They, you know, it's funny, you know, how they can, you know, if you think about what that just said is, did not take caution to prevent cleaning supply fluid from touching ready-to-eat products. They didn't say it was touching. They didn't say that it was contaminated. They just said there was the potential. Well, you know, there's a potential for everything. So here's a representative from Whole Foods. They said, we were honestly surprised because we've been in close contact with the FDA. We've opened our doors to inspectors regularly since February and worked with them to address every issue brought to our attention. While the company responded to the FDA's initial inspection observations back in March, the FDA found that Whole Foods' response was unacceptable.
Wow.
So they go on to say, here's why, they said, your response includes retraining of employees as a corrective action for most of the observed violations, but you failed to mention adequate supervision over your specialized food processing operations and how retraining will ensure sustained compliance. We do not consider your response acceptable because you failed to provide documentation for our review, which demonstrates that all your noted corrective actions have been effectively implemented. I mean, you know, this is, you know, typical. You deal with the government and you get this runaround. You know, you work with them in good faith, and it seems like they have an agenda, that it's their job to, you know, find out what's wrong. You know, and I wouldn't be making a big deal about this if the government was, if their hands were so clean about everything else. But, you know, just, you know, this sort of seemed inappropriate to me. Whole Foods was given 15 days to respond to the FDA after receiving the warning letter dated June 8th. Now, it goes on to say the company has faced backlash in recent years due to concerns about slowing sales, health scares, and accusations that the grocery chain was overcharging customers. Whole Foods stands to lose even more as rival supermarkets and ready-to-eat companies like Blue Apron clutter the category. And also they say an increasing number of supermarkets dubbed grocerants, a combination of grocery and restaurant, or grocery restaurants as they're called, are stocking shelves with prepared foods and offering in-store dining, according to a recent study by, a food group. Whole Foods had once dominated the market, but is slowly succumbing to the tough competition. So, and this is big business. In 2008, in-store dining and prepared foods have grown nearly 30% in groceries, accounting for 2.4 billion food service visits and 10 billion in consumer spending. I don't know, with all the national chains out there that deal with food, to only hear that only Whole Foods and Chipotle have been singled out just seems kind of suspicious to me. And like you said, the biggest area of suspicion is how come it's the FDA and not the local health departments that are bringing this up.
It doesn't make very much sense, unfortunately, for all of the other operations in a particular municipality. They rely on the local health inspectors or a county health inspector in order to ascertain that, yes, sanitation and food preparation requirements are being met. So the FDA getting involved in these two instances is very suspicious.
Yeah.
The truth of the matter is, here's Whole Foods. They've been sailing on top of this area of the industry, the natural health support industry, and you always, a corporation might be getting so big that it's not able to be innovative. When Whole Foods began in the 80s, they were the innovators. They were setting the pace, so to speak. And possibly they've just gotten into a kind of corporate funk, let's say, and been focusing on opening more stores, and not necessarily keeping an eye on what is the competition bringing to the marketplace. And they, in order to maintain their top of the heap place, really need to be the innovators again, and as they were 30 years ago, but they're kind of slipping in that innovation category.
Well, you know, it's like slipping from say whatever they were, 90% of the market to 87% of the market. I mean, I think they're still the leader, and I just want to let our listeners understand, this was only in one preparation facility in Massachusetts. This wasn't a nationwide issue. But you know, what was surprising is that the FDA is involved. And like I said, there were no injuries or nobody got sick. And why is this even hitting the headlines? It seems to be a little sinister, in my opinion.
I agree.
So, but like I said, only in a facility in... Only in Massachusetts, in one preparation facility, did this occur. And you know, I think you know, our listeners more so than other people are. What's a good word? How we feel about the role of government? They seem to be. All right, I'll be nice. Not consistent in their oversight. That would...
Okay, inconsistency is the word.
Well, you know, again, we see the way the drug companies seem to control the government, and we just wonder who's behind this investigation. And that music means it's time for us to take a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Herbert Slavin and Janet Cimarelli. They're located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill. And you can find them on the web at advancedmedicaltesting.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience. Clean, comfortable, and efficient. They guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest prices. They test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. They draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostics, Simulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call them today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Are you looking for expert advice on improving your health? You want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule consultations with me, Janet Cimarelli, at janetcimarelli.com. I'm a licensed nutrition counselor, and I specialize in the field of natural foods and supplements. I offer consultations with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. I'll educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. I will include information on overcoming allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with me, and I'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health. Visit janetcimarelli.com and tune in to hear me on Natural Doc Radio here on WNN Monday through Friday, 10 to 11.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. And we just got finished talking about the reprimand that one food preparation facility in Massachusetts received from the FDA. So I looked up what are the what's the role of the FDA. It's very interesting, and I don't think that's their role based on what the FDA's own website says. And here's what they say. The FDA is responsible for protecting the public health by assuring the safety, efficacy, and security of human and veterinary drugs. I think we have questions about their ability there, especially in the category of vaccinations. But a lot of drugs have been pulled off the market after killing people. Why were they originally put on the market? They oversee biological products, medical devices, our nation's food supply, cosmetics, and products that emit radiation. The FDA is also responsible for advancing the public health by helping to speed innovations that make medicines more effective, safer, and more affordable, and by helping the public get the accurate science-based information they need to use medicines and foods to maintain and improve their health. The FDA also has responsibility for regulating the manufacturing, marketing, and distribution of tobacco products to protect the public health and to reduce tobacco use by minors. And finally, the FDA plays a significant role in the nation's counterterrorism capability. The FDA fulfills this responsibility by ensuring the security of the food supply and by fostering development of medical products to respond to deliberate and naturally emerging public health threats. I don't know. Are they doing a good job? It seems that on the list of all their responsibilities, food inspection, you shouldn't be taking a high priority when you have other agencies, like you said, local health departments, that should be doing that. But they go on to say that the FDA's regulatory authority is very broad, and it works closely with other government agencies. And that's why it's so confusing and frustrating for consumers to know which is the proper agency to contact. So here's a list of traditionally recognized product categories that fall under FDA's regulatory jurisdiction. But it's not an exhaustive list. So basically, it sounds like the FDA can do whatever they want. But here's what they do. When it comes to foods, they oversee dietary supplements, bottled water, food additives, infant formulas, and other food products like, could be meat, poultry, eggs, and other products. But the Department of Agriculture plays a leading role there. Now, what's interesting is they oversee it, but they seem to do nothing about it. You know, just that's sort of my opinion. They oversee prescription drugs, both brand name and generic, and also non-prescription over-the-counter drugs. I'm not sure what their oversight is accomplishing, though. They also oversee vaccines, blood and blood products, cellular and gene therapy products, tissue and tissue products, and allergenics. They oversee medical devices like tongue depressors and bedpans. Complex technologies such as heart pacemakers, dental devices, and surgical implants and prosthetics. They oversee electronic products that give off radiation, such as microwave ovens, X-ray equipment, laser products, ultrasonic therapy equipment, mercury vapor lamps, and sun lamps. They oversee cosmetics. They look at the color additives found in makeup and other personal care products, skin moisturizers and cleansers, nail polish and perfumes. They oversee livestock feed, pet foods, and veterinary drugs and devices. And then finally, they oversee tobacco products like cigarettes, cigarette tobacco, roll-your-own tobacco, or smokeless tobacco. And then it goes on to say the following contact information is for government agencies that have functions related to the FDA. In other words, if it's related to advertising, you go to the Federal Trade Commission. If it's related to alcohol, it's the Department of Treasury, Alcohol and Tobacco Tax and Trade Bureau. Then you have the Consumer Product Safety Commission, You have the Drug Enforcement Administration. You have the Food and Safety Inspection Service, which is part of the U.S. Department of Agriculture. You have the Environmental Protection Agency, which will oversee, as part of their duties, pesticides. Then you have the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, which deals with vaccines for animal diseases. And then you have the area of the Environmental Protection Agency, again, regulating the safety of water. I don't know. When I hear people complaining that there are too many agencies and they overlap and maybe they don't communicate with each other, and just my way of thinking. This is very a very inefficient way of you spreading everything out. But I guess the real question is, are they doing a good job? It seems to me they may have oversight, but it seems like they're just looking over everything and not really doing much to protect the public, because that's their main role, protect the public from drugs that clearly are unsafe in many cases. Right, Janet, did we say over 100,000 people die a year from using drugs properly? I'm just saying. Dan, I don't know. You have any thoughts on this?
I certainly do, Dr. Slavin. When we think about all of the damage that's done on a regular basis using the chemicals in cleaning products, as an example, the way water is treated, because the FDA is supposedly providing oversight to how water is treated and the importance of delivering pure water to the population. And when we think about the over-the-counter drugs that create hospitalizations and very significant physical damage to those people using them, not even abusing them, just using them. And it seems as though the FDA does fall short in those areas. And so to be singling out a particular food preparation kitchen, it does seem very odd. It does seem overstepping the bounds. So losing the direction of where they should be putting their manpower and their funding, and just being misguided in interpreting what their responsibilities are. Let's talk about their priorities. Their priorities certainly should be in the area of pharmaceutical and over-the-counter drugs, in my opinion, because there seems to be such a need for improved oversight, such a need for alerting the public to the dangers of what they are putting into their bodies on a regular basis. Because, again, the over-the-counter drugs, they come with radio or television advertisements that tell people, you might need to take 6 a day of this particular non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug. Depending on what those patients are eating and drinking, 6 a day of that particular over-the-counter drug can lead to very significant physical injury. Then, when you talk about what the number of injuries are for properly prescribed drugs, with doctors providing oversight with regard to their patients, and so the FDA seems to be stepping wide of their priority mark.
John, I'm going to give you an interesting fact here, which I know you'll have a comment on. So, with regard to food, it looks like they have agencies within agencies within agencies. So you have the Center for Food Safety and Applied Nutrition, which is within the FDA, works to assure the food supply is safe, sanitary, wholesome, and honestly labeled. which is all very good, but is it really happening? So they on their own website, they ask a question, whether or not stevia is an FDA-approved sweetener. And the answer is no, the FDA has not approved stevia because it is neither a generally recognized as safe substance nor an authorized sweetener. They go on to say that the FDA has not permitted the use of whole leaf stevia or crude stevia extracts because these substances have not been approved for use as a food additive. The FDA does not consider their use in food to be generally recognized as safe. In light of reports in the literature that raise concerns about the use of these substances, among these concerns are control of blood sugar. You know, I've got to stop myself from laughing here in a second. They're concerned that stevia is going to affect blood sugar control, and it also will have effects on reproductive, cardiovascular, and renal systems. Food additives and generally recognized as safe affirmation petition or pre-petition submissions for the use of such substances that FDA has received in the past have not contained the data and information necessary to establish the safe use of these substances as ingredients in food. I'd like to see what they received with regard to tobacco or aspartame or high fructose corn syrup. I don't know, Janet, you have any thoughts?
Well, it's certainly very interesting that the FDA has given Splenda sucralose their approval, considering that Splenda is three molecules of chlorine, very identifiable liver toxin, and one molecule of sucrose. And the reason that it doesn't have any caloric content is your body recognizes the chlorine as a poison and moves it out of your body very quickly. They have also given aspartame equal approval, and when you do any kind of research with regard to aspartame or equal, you will see that it is one of the most complained about substances to the FDA. And yet the FDA continues to support it as being something that is not a threat to users' health. Now, it's very interesting because these two sweeteners are brought to the marketplace by pharmaceutical companies, and it just seems like a really comfortable interaction with the pharmaceutical companies and the FDA.
And I hear some music in the background, which means it's time for a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Dr. Herbert Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor. We are located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill, and you can find us on the web at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience, clean, comfortable, and efficient. We guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest price. We test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. We draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostic, Singulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call us today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine brings you the latest in natural health care, reviewing the published research, attending conferences with health experts from around the world. That allows the healthcare team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill to provide you the quality and experience you're searching for in a healthcare team. Testing to target your individual needs and treating with natural and holistic approaches, the goal is wellness. You can reach the Institute of Advanced Medicine easily on Commercial Boulevard, just west of the Florida Turnpike, or three blocks east of University Drive in Lauderhill. You can call us 954-748-4991 to learn more. 954-748-4991.
Listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. We started off today's program commenting on the fact that the FDA was involved in reprimanding one of the food preparation areas in Whole Foods in Massachusetts. And we're really wondering, how come the FDA is getting involved there when it really should be local health departments, in our opinion, since the FDA has so many wide-ranging functions. And another function of the FDA is how it assesses the safety of vaccines. And to me, if they were carrying out their responsibility, nobody should be having vaccine side effects. In other words, I think an appropriate response would be, until we find that something is entirely safe, that we withhold its use on the general public. But their approach seems to be, well, it only seems to affect a small percentage of people, so it's okay to use, or they deny that the vaccine is even responsible for any of the effects that people experience after they receive a vaccine. So here's what the FDA says. Vaccines undergo rigorous and extensive testing to determine their safety and effectiveness. When I look for those test results, very difficult to find. Highly trained scientists and medical personnel at FDA carefully review all of the information in a marketing application. I'm going to go back to the vaccines undergo rigorous and extensive testing. But not by the FDA. That testing, if at all, is done by the manufacturer. The FDA is highly trained scientists and medical personnel carefully review all the information that's presented to them by the manufacturing company in their marketing application before a vaccine can be approved for use by the public. And then following approval, the FDA also carefully monitors the quality of vaccines. So all manufactured lots must pass tests before they can be used. And as with all manufacturers of medical products, vaccine manufacturers must follow strict manufacturing standards. In addition, FDA conducts routine inspections of manufacturing sites. And they work closely with the CDC when it comes to vaccines. Now, there was another report.
Dr. Slavin, just want to remind everyone that the CDC is not a government agency. It is a privately owned organization.
Okay, so I want to see if I can find this report, which was kind of interesting when in the context of vaccines. And as more and more people become better educated about vaccines, it seems that more and more people are dissatisfied with the information that they're being given regarding vaccines. And What I'm looking for is just some of the ingredients that they put in vaccines that really don't make sense on the surface. And the whole context of vaccines don't make sense when you look at the effects that the vaccines are having. In other words, when we hear about measles or mumps outbreaks amongst populations that have previously been vaccinated. This report just talks about 9 vaccines that you'll never need that won't protect you from anything, especially the diseases they're labeled to protect. And in this, on this list, you have measles, Zika virus vaccine, which I'm not even sure exists yet, the flu shot, the swine flu vaccine, the bird flu vaccine, polio vaccine, HPV vaccine, and anthrax vaccine. And the reason they say that is because they're probably not effective, but here's what they say. The real reason many children and babies have weaker immune systems than adults is because they receive over 50 toxic vaccines before the age of 7. And that's the recommendation of the CDC. And you said the CDC is a private company, and the State Department. And in certain states like California, that mandate to give the children 50 toxic vaccines before the age of 7 is enforced at gunpoint in states like California. Chickenpox, for example, is a common childhood disease caused by a virus that lasts 2 to 4 days, and then most children are immune to it for life. Measles is like a cold that could include a cough, fever, or a blotchy rash that fades after a few days. Mumps is an acute viral infection, usually accompanied by a mild fever lasting a couple of days with a sore throat and swollen glands. Now before I go further, I just want to say, Jen, I'm sure the vast majority of the people listening to this program never had those vaccines because they weren't available when they were little. What the medical industrial complex doesn't want anyone to know is that the normal human body that's not beaten down and infected by vaccine toxins and food toxins can naturally beat these infections easily. The same goes for the Zika virus, which does not cause deformities in babies. A lot of people feel that's a huge lie and a scare tactic. The swine flu was a hoax, as was the vaccine, and those vaccine manufacturers have paid out millions in damages due directly to that toxic vaccine. And then there's the MMR vaccine that causes autism. Now, that's debatable, but it was confessed by the head of the CDC scientist, Dr. William Thompson, said he found the information. We know that they selectively release the information, the information that shows that it was bad doesn't get released as often as the information that shows no problems. So, I don't know, a lot of, people need to research vaccines for themselves so that you can make up your own minds about things. I'm just thinking, you had the smallpox vaccine was probably the first one, and then you had polio, and then it was probably tetanus, and then they started really jumping on the bandwagon, not because it was making such an improvement in preventing illness as much as making money by, once you have the government mandating the use of the vaccines, this was a windfall for the manufacturers of these vaccines. So I think it's just would be our energies would be better placed in ensuring that we're eating healthy, maintaining a healthy immune system, rather than trying to artificially bolster our immune system, which really doesn't seem to be that effective. So
it really doesn't seem as though it's bolstering our immune system. It is creating havoc, particularly in our children's immune systems. Because you think about when you interfere with an immature infant immune system and you impose a seriously strong substance on that immune system, it has unforeseen events. And what I'm thinking about are the number of allergies that are diagnosed in our young children, those allergic responses are more and more ubiquitous around our population, our particularly our children. You think about the intensity of the peanut allergy situation. Then you think about also the number of diagnoses of asthma in children. And in my view, that is the example of a hyperactive, improper immune response. So there are triggers that unfortunately create breathing problems, and more and more of our kids are dealing with these improper immune system triggers.
Janet, here's an interesting report. This report is about what do they put in vaccines. But one of the paragraphs here says most people believe vaccines work. They believe that the only ingredient in vaccines are what is necessary to conjure an immune response to a tiny sample of the disease that they want to prevent. People think their body then creates antibodies for these infectious diseases and viruses, and that they are immune for life. Little do most people know that nearly every vaccine contains multiple live viruses, either dormant, attenuated, or deadened. They also contain extremely experimental and dangerous ingredients, synthetic substances, deadly chemicals, neurotoxic agents, carcinogenic adjuvants, and they are all brewed in either animal tissue, eggs, dairy, peanut oil, or other known allergens that cause the majority of severe allergies to which people are completely oblivious. Although the CDC said they phased out mercury from vaccines, it's still in several of them, including flu shots. Now, before I tell you what some of those ingredients are, here's another interesting observation. That the vaccine manufacturers are immune from lawsuits. So they can do basically whatever they want, and if you have bad results, they're still immune. And now here's a question for everybody. Have you ever seen any person on the news, on television, or read any newspaper article about some person or child who was injured by a vaccine? Though millions and millions of dollars have been paid out due to vaccine violence, unexpected side effects, no stories ever make it to the mainstream media outlets. Okay, here are some of the ingredients they're using in vaccines. Monkey kidney cells, and that's because this is where they grow some of the vaccines. And they said the CDC and the vaccine manufacturers will tell you there are only trace amounts left, and there really should be no concern. They're using latex. Latex is found in the hepatitis B vaccine, routinely given to health workers. Latex in vaccines conjures up a very panicked immune response, and nurses suffer this life-threatening allergy for the rest of their lives. Mycoplasma. These pathogens that cause pneumonia are microscopic organisms among the smallest of all free-moving organisms. One of these species, known as Mycoplasma pneumonia, these mycoplasma are purposely inserted into vaccines as an adjuvant to increase the immune system's allergic response to the vaccine. Now, it's interesting. We routinely check people for mycoplasma pneumonia. And I would say that, you know, over 90% of the people we check already have antibodies to that. Maybe the vaccines are where they're being exposed to it. And there's that music, which means it's time for another break. I have some more ingredients that you should be aware of, but we'll get to that after the break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Have you ever heard of someone going to see the doctor for a checkup or a sore throat or some common complaint, and in that visit they were diagnosed with a much more serious issue? The story I remember is the one about someone taking blood tests before cosmetic surgery, and those blood tests saved the life of the patient by discovering colon cancer. So don't be surprised. Come to Advanced Medical Testing for comprehensive testing to assure wellness. Call 754-216-2332 to schedule an appointment and get the information you need about advanced medical testing, or visit amtcenters.com. That's 754-216-2332 or amtcenters.com.
Are you in search of the fountain of youth, trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor, offers remote counseling sessions. She'll work with you to help you manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She'll help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. Sessions are offered via telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she'll provide you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at janetcimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
This is Natural Doc Radio. You're listening to I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. We're talking about the role of the FDA in making sure we're all kept safe. And then we got on the topic of vaccines, because that's one of the areas the FDA has oversight of. And despite the fact that millions and millions of dollars have been paid out to people who've been damaged by vaccines, we're wondering why that continues to be the case. The FDA has oversight over drugs. Yet 100,000 or more people die each year from drugs used appropriately. So the question is, who's accountable when these kind of things happen? Now, we left off with mycoplasma being found in vaccines. Also, artificial sweeteners. Why do they have to put sorbitol and another sweetener, an experimental one called polyribosyl ribitol, in sweeteners? I mean, in vaccines. That doesn't seem to make sense. Ammonium sulfate can be found in some vaccines. What is that? That's a chemical fertilizer. And it's a combination of ammonia with sulfuric acid. It can cause acidosis and is toxic to the liver and respiratory system. Now, granted, very tiny amounts are probably found in that vaccine. But remember who you're giving these vaccines to. You're giving them to infants who are obviously very small with an immature immune system, an immature detoxification system, and, and obviously... We don't know what the long-term effects of them are. Mm-hmm. MSG is put in vaccines. It's a known neurotoxin, and it could damage the brain and cause other neurological problems. And then there's peanut oil, and that may explain why we're seeing so many peanut allergies. Many vaccines are cultured in peanut oil, and trace amounts remain. That's why children with peanut allergies can go into anaphylactic shock when you open something in a room containing peanuts. If the role of the FDA is to make sure vaccines are safe, it really depends on what their definition of safe is. In other words, how many serious injuries and deaths do they allow and continue to call something safe? And it seems to me that, they have a tolerance for serious side effects and deaths, because they still call these vaccines safe.
Dr. Janet, Slavin, yeah. Our listeners can go to a website called VACinfo.org, VAC. info.org. And on that website, they may very well find a list of commonly found chemical and unusual ingredients that are in vaccines, that are given to infants as early as one day. Dr. Slavin, it is, I believe, the law in the state of Florida that infants receive a hepatitis vaccine before they leave the hospital. Can you think of any reason why you would give a several-day-old infant a hepatitis vaccine?
No. I can't think of why you'd give any infant a vaccine before 6 months of age when they have a functioning immune system. And it's, and also the infants for the first 6 months of life have passive immunity. What that means is they have the immunity that their mother has passed on to them that usually lasts for the first 6 months. So why we feel compelled to vaccinate all these kids before they leave the hospital, it, to me, is not operating in the infant's best interest. The problem with the hepatitis B vaccine, it's got a limited effectiveness. They say about 7 years. So if you give it as an infant, then you have to give a booster at 7 years, probably another one at 14 years. And now they're getting into that age group when exposure to hepatitis B increases through illicit drug use, maybe through sexual contacts. So you're right. What purpose does it really serve to give to an infant? There are a lot of different hepatitis B vaccines. And I'm looking at a list of some of the ingredients in them for the hepatitis B called Engerix B. They have aluminum hydroxide. You have yeast protein, phosphate buffers, sodium dihydrogen phosphate dihydrate. Another hepatitis B vaccine, the Recombivax, has yeast protein, soy peptone, dextrose, amino acids, mineral salts, potassium, aluminum sulfate, amorphous aluminum hydroxyphosphate, formaldehyde, and a phosphate buffer. Then you have a hepatitis A and hepatitis B combination called Twinrix. You have formalin, yeast protein, aluminum phosphate, aluminum hydroxide, amino acids, phosphate buffers, polysorbate 20, neomycin sulfate. Now, we talked about the FDA overseeing the safety. Now, where are the long-term studies on the use of vaccines? You're giving vaccines to infants before they leave the hospital. What's the long-term effect? When these kids, and there have been reports about people who have been highly vaccinated being more susceptible to various diseases when they get older, but you know, nobody's looked at that possibility. And I'm not sure the incidence of hepatitis has really gone down because of the vaccine, or it's been reported that even the incidence of polio didn't go down because of the vaccine. It went down because they changed the definition of polio. So these things you could investigate for yourself. You'll see that it's true. The flu vaccine, a lot of companies make it. And I'm just looking for one that I recognize. Fluzone sounds familiar to me. Has formaldehyde, thimerosal, which is the mercury, egg protein, phosphate buffers, to name a few ingredients. So, I mean, and then think about the what we mentioned, at least 70 different vaccines that kids get before the age of 7. And we wonder why we're seeing an increase in all these unusual ailments that we never used to see, especially the neurologic problems that more and more kids face, like attention deficit disorder, autism, and things like that. So I just think it's unfortunate, too, that you know, who do you trust anymore to get accurate information? Because you go to your doctor, and they're all pro-vaccine, and then it becomes very difficult to make a decision. So here's something, you know, these articles are all over the internet. And here's a report that said the leading proponent of Senate Bill 277, and that was a bill designed to eliminate personal and philosophical vaccine exemptions in the state of California, which was recently signed into law by the governor there, has once again been exposed as a fraud and a liar. That's talking about a senator and a Dr. Richard Pan, who spearheaded the campaign to strip California parents of their right not to vaccinate their children. And he's been shown to be probably giving out misleading information about the safety of these vaccines. So that's an important area that we need to be concerned about. Oh, and I think we've just about run out of time, Janet. Do you have that? Yep, I hear that music. I'd like to thank all our listeners. We're here every Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock, and we enjoy passing along this information. You've been listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. Bye-bye, everybody.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.